Our scripture this morning is in Matthew chapter 2. And we'll be coming back to this portion later on in our series in a couple weeks. But today we're just going to look at verses 9 through 11 of this portion that deals with after Jesus being born. And wise men, magi from the east, had seen this special star that God had put in the sky announcing his birth. And it followed that star to Jerusalem, wondering and asking the king, Herod, where the one is that was born king of the Jews, because he said, we have come to worship him. And then Jerusalem was disturbed when they heard that news. And King Herod said, go and make a search for him. And when you find him, come and let me know so that I can worship him also. But King Herod, as you know, didn't have a desire to worship him. But we're going to pick up at verse 9. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, and of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that is that comfort, that is our hope, that is our light, that is our truth. I pray that through your word this morning again, you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, and that through your word, Lord, we'd be drawn to you closer. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Through this Lenten journey, Advent journey, we have been focusing in on our theme being the Christmas classics. And we've been looking at original classics that had been aired that a lot of us grew up with. And we began by looking at Rudolph, and last week we looked at Frosty the Snowman. This morning, we want to focus in on one maybe that is less known, and that is the story of the Little Drummer Boy. Now, that's maybe a less familiar one. And Little Drummer Boy focuses in on a boy named Aaron, who was an orphan boy. His parents had been killed by thieves that had killed his parents and had ransacked and took all their sheep and property. And he was left as an orphan, left destitute. And because of that, he developed a lot of hate and bitterness in his heart. And he met this, there was this caravan guy who got kidnapped him, who actually made him his slave and forced him to kind of entertain by playing drums for people. And they met the wise men on their journey. And the wise men were on their way to Bethlehem to find the newborn king to worship him. And the little drummer boy happened to run into them. So he joins them on the journey. And if you know part of the story of the song, as the wise men were giving their gifts to Jesus, they had their gifts of great worth, and the little drummer boy had nothing he could give. He was a poor boy, and all he had was his drum. And he gave the gift that he had, and he played the drum. And if you remember in the song, the story that says the Lord smited him. The Lord received that gift. And the theme of our sermon this time this morning is worship. Worshiping the Lord together as we focus on the wise men. And Matthew chapter 2 tells us that the wise men were looking for Jesus. They'd seen his star and they had come and said, we have come to worship him. And this morning, we've come together to worship the Lord. And worship is our theme this morning. And I did a little study on that, and the word worship occurs 162 times in 156 verses in the New International Version. So it's pretty important. The scripture calls us to worship the Lord, and we come together every Sunday to do that. But worship is more than just coming on a Sunday morning. Worship is what we do with our life. Worship is how we are to live every day. So what does it mean to worship the Lord? And as I did this study, what book do you think the word worship occurs in the most? What book do you think? Just someone shout out an answer. Psalms. Very good guess. That would be mine. That was my guess. And that would be because the book of Psalms is actually a book of worship. It's a song book. But actually, It's the book of Deuteronomy. It's used 15 times in the book of Deuteronomy because in that the Lord is reminding us through Moses, worship the Lord only. Don't be like the Egyptians. I brought you out of Egypt to worship and to serve me only. And the book of Deuteronomy calls them that if you don't worship the Lord, this is going to happen. And if you worship the Lord, it's going to be blessing. So the book of Deuteronomy is first. Psalms is second, where it occurs 12 times. What book do you think is the third highest? 2 Kings, where it appears 11 times. And again, as I was thinking of that, 2 Kings, why that? Again, the Lord was saying about the importance of the kings, those that worshiped the Lord and those that didn't. And that the leaders were to lead the people in worship of the Lord, and some of the kings led people away from the Lord. Followed by the books of Daniel and Revelation with 10 occurrences each. So this morning we want to focus in on the worship of the wise men. And what does it really mean to worship the Lord? And what can we learn from them? And we're going to look at verse 11. And this is where we're going to be our focus this morning. And the wise men, at this point, Jesus was in a house. He was not in the manger. He was not in the stable. At this point, it was, I believe, maybe 52 years of age, living in a house. And on coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And just like the wise men this morning, we have come to worship. And through their example and their worship of Jesus, we learn four principles of worship from them this morning that we can apply to our life. And the first one is this: to worship the Lord means to fall down before him. It said when they came in to the house, they bowed down or fell down before him. They, as kings, were used to people bowing before them, but they bowed down before the Lord, and we do that in humility. And bowing down before him, realizing that God is the Lord, and we bow before him, acknowledging him. And every day we have is a gift from him. All we have comes from him, realizing that every breath we breathe is because God's given it to us. And falling down before him in that worship, in that humility, where would we be without the Lord? And that's what worship is, acknowledging that, acknowledging God as Lord over us in humility and in submission. Falling down before also is an act of not only humility, but an act of submission, where we submit ourselves to the Lord. And in worship, we come before him, bowing before him, the Lord of all, in humility and in submission, yielding ourselves to him. Now, King Herod, when he heard that there was another king born, the legitimate true king of the Jews, he was troubled. And he did not bow before the Lord in submission or in humility. He said to the wise men, go and look for him, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can come and worship him too. But he had no desire to bow in submission before the Lord. He wanted to know where he was so that he could eliminate him. But true worship comes in that humility and obedience and bowing before Jesus. In King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 is an interesting story where Daniel was serving, at this point taken into captivity in Babylon, serving King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar had a strange dream about this big tree that grew up and got really full. And then the birds came and started eating at it, and then it was cut off. And he couldn't figure out what this meant. And he explained it to Daniel, and Daniel said, I wish that dream wasn't about you, but the Lord has showed you what's going to happen to you. He said, because of your pride, God is going to humble you. And he said, you think because of your greatness, God is going to humble you and bring you to that point of submission. And that's what happened. It says in Daniel chapter 4 that one day Nebuchadnezzar was out looking at his great kingdom. And he said, look at this great kingdom that I built. It said, while those words were on his lips, he was struck down and he was driven insane and had to live as a wild animal for 7 years until he was finally humbled to the point that he acknowledged. And then at the end of that, he came out, he said, now I know and acknowledge that the Lord is God and he, the Most High, rules alone. And he came to that place of humility and submission. And that's what worship is. And bringing to that point, bowing before the Lord, falling down before him. And the wise men did that. Great men as they were, they bowed before Jesus because they knew he alone was worthy. To worship him also means to give him due reverence. It says that they bowed down and they worshiped him. That word worship comes with it a really interesting meaning of what that means. And we use the word worship, we say we come to church to worship, we have a worship service. And what does it really mean to worship the Lord? To give him due reverence, because as God, he alone is worthy of worship. That word worship, as I looked it up, literally means from a word that means to kiss, to ward. It's from two words meaning to and kiss. And the word worship means basically to bow down. And while you're bowing down, you're throwing kisses towards somebody greater than you. And that's really what it means in worship, to bow before him, giving him, our Lord, his due reverence of who he is. Kissing towards him, bowing down, and the word actually means being prostrate with your head right down on the floor. And as you do, you're throwing kisses towards somebody greater than you. And that's giving the Lord due reverence. And boy, could you imagine if we would come in our worship service and do that? You know, and bow down, put our head. But that's really what it means. It means giving him reverence and realizing him for who he is, that he alone is worthy of worship. Nobody else but the Lord alone. The custom of the Middle East culture of this time was when if somebody was greeting you, and like Bill and I were greeting each other and we were good friends, and you were greeting somebody who was in the same classification as you, you would kiss them on the lips. If you were greeting somebody who was a little bit greater than you, you would kiss them on the cheek. But if you were greeting somebody who was a superior, somebody way higher, you would do kisses towards them and you would bow all the way down and put your head on the ground. And it's that's the word of worship that it means. That God, who's far greater than us and far more superior than us, putting way, giving him the due reverence that he alone is worthy of. So that means not treating God flippantly. How often do we treat God flippantly? How often do we treat his name lightly? And realizing worshiping him is giving him the reverence that he alone is worthy of as God. In the book of Revelation, you talk where the word worship is used. It's used to talk about the worship of the Lamb and the Lord on the throne. That he is on the throne, and all the angels and the multitudes of heaven are gathered, falling before him, lifting up their praise and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And John said, "I looked, and there was no one worthy to open the Lamb." And it said Jesus alone was worthy to open the scroll. God on the throne. Revelation 4:11 says, "You alone are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, and majesty." And Revelation 5:9 says, "You alone are worthy to open the scroll." The Lord himself giving him the honor that he is due. And in Exodus, where the word worship is used, it was used in Moses' message to Pharaoh. And in his vote, Moses was speaking to Pharaoh. He says, God says, "Let my people go that they may worship me and give me the reverence that I am due." Pharaoh thought he was God and he wanted everybody worshiping him. And he said, "No, let them go that they may worship me." And that's where the word worship was used. The other time the word worship was used in Exodus was whenever the Lord said, "Worship the Lord God only and have no other gods but me." And then the other time worship was used in Exodus was whenever they built a golden calf and they worshiped it. But in all those times, it was showing that God is to be the sure place of reverence that he deserves, giving him the honor he is due as God, he alone is worthy, and as God, he alone. And this is a picture of it, what worship means, that falling down before somebody greater than us. And that's truly the attitude that we need to have as we come before the Lord. That's not only humility and submission, but that's the worship of falling down before him, realizing who he is as our great God. And he alone is deserving of our worship. No one else is worthy of it but the Lord himself. They bowed down, they worshiped him, they gave him his due reverence that he alone was worthy of. Third thing we learn from worship means to give him full access. Notice it says they opened their treasures. As I studied that word open, it means to unlock something that had been previously contained. Some kind where treasures were kept or a box that was under a lock, to unlock it and to give it full access and open it. And they opened their treasures. They gave the Lord full access to what they had. To worship him means that we don't hold anything back. We give the Lord all of ourself. We give him our entire being. We give him all that we possess. We give him access, full access to the treasure of our heart. The little drummer boy hated people. He hated and he despised people. It was because he was bitter of what had been done to his parents when his parents were killed, when everything that they had was taken, and he was left an orphan. And he lived with bitterness and unforgiveness, and he lived through that until he came to the manger. And when he got to the manger and he bowed before Jesus there, and he gave the Lord his heart and gave him access, so that bitterness was taken away and it was turned to joy. Giving the Lord access to our heart, to our entire being. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, you remember the rest of that? Your heart will be also. So giving the Lord that access to the treasure of our heart. What's lying on the throne? Is there parts of your heart, parts of your life, your room that he doesn't have access to? And it's, Lord, I open up all my life to you, and I give you free access, complete reign, complete control. You take it. It belongs to you. And that's worship. Opening their treasures, opening our heart and giving it to him. Also, to give him full access to the treasure of our possessions, it says that they opened up their treasures, what they had. They had gifts of great worth, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they gave that to the Lord willingly. They didn't hold on to it because they knew that the Lord was worthy. And what we have and what the Lord blesses us with, it's because he's given it to us, and we realize that it all belongs to him anyway. And it's his, and as good stewards of it, we just give it back to him. We hold to the things he's given us loosely so that he may be glorified in it. And giving him full access to the treasure of our time and how we use our time. Scripture says in the Old Testament, when they worshiped the Lord, they were to give the Lord the first fruits, meaning the best that they had, but also the first, not the leftovers. And sometimes, how many times do we give the Lord our leftovers? We make our plans, we look at our schedule, and we say, if we have time, we may put this in for the Lord. But yet we should be giving him the access of our time, not just what's left over, but our first fruits, the best we have to give to him. And giving him access to the treasures of our talents, those that he's blessed with, the talents that he's given you that you can use for him, for his glory, for the building up of his kingdom. So to worship him means to open up those treasures, hold them loosely. Take the lid off, take the lock off, and give the Lord that full access to your heart, to your life, to the things he's blessed us with. And then fourth, the thing we learned from worship from the wise men this morning is to give him your best. It says that they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave to Jesus the best that they had. because he is deserving of it. And he is deserving of our best that we have. The little drummer boy gave what he had. The wise men were wealthy. They gave great gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the little drummer boy didn't have that. He was poor. He was an orphan. He had nothing to give but the drum. And he said, and the song says, he played his drum. I played my drum for him. And it goes on to say he played his best for him. He gave the best that he had back to Jesus. And that's all the Lord asks. It's whatever it is he gives it. He doesn't look as much on the value, on the how much it is, but that we give him the best that we have as we offer it back to him as an act of worship to him. And when we do that, he is pleased by it. Because it says, as a little drummer boy gave and played his best for him, the song ends by saying, then he smiled at me. The Lord received that offering, that gift that was given to him as pleasure, because he knew that it was from the best that he had. And the scripture says that when we, that our giving, our worship to the Lord should be ascend up to the throne as a pleasing aroma, a pleasing fragrance to him that makes him smile when we give him the best that we have to offer. So wise men worship Jesus. And will you worship like them? Falling down before him, giving him his due reverence that he alone is worthy of, giving him full access to our heart, to all that he's blessed us with, and give him your very best. Because in doing that, that's what it means to worship the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and its teaching this morning on how to come before you in worship. And Lord, may we humble ourselves before you and surrender and bow before you. Acknowledge that you alone are God. You alone are worthy, and give you the due reverence that you alone are worthy of. No one else, no other gods but you. Our affection, our total affection and devotion belongs first to you and no one else, as we give you the reverence that you alone are worthy of. And Lord, as well, may we give you full access to our heart, to our life, to those things you blessed us with, not put it under lock and key, but open it up and let you have the full reign and access to the treasures of our heart, of what you've given us, that we freely open it and make it available to you. And Father, help us as well to give our best to you, not what's left over, not our second best, but to give you our best, because it honors you and you are pleased by it and you alone are deserving. So Lord, we have come this morning just as the wise men to worship you, to gather in your name. But Lord, it's not only just here. Our life is to be lived out before you as an act of worship. You told us in Romans chapter 12, we're to submit our bodies to you, present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, because this is our spiritual act of worship, the way we worship you today. So Lord, help us to not only hear, but apply your word and to live it out. Be glorified in our life this week as we worship you by living for you and following you and glorifying you in our life. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.